Thank you for being here today. We're going to be jumping in. I'm going to jump in quick. If you do have your Bibles, I hope you do, turn them on, open them up. I want you to be able to look at them, not just see on the screen. I think there's something really important to being able to see the passage so that you're not just taking my word for it, excuse me, but you are looking to see, yeah, that's kind of what, that's what's going on here. We're in the second week now of a series called War Cry, talking about the war cry of God. That is Jesus Christ, his war cry, who came to do battle on our behalf. You'll remember last week maybe that there was a rebellion at the very beginning of the Bible. All the way back to Genesis. Genesis 1, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 2, he created mankind. Genesis 3 zooms in on Adam and Eve, his creation. And his creation, the creation rebelled against the Creator. And as a result, sin entered into the world. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, I know you talked about this, the very first gospel, God ended up cursing the snake, the serpent, the great dragon, the one that Revelation talks about. And in the course of that, he said, listen, this is war. War has been declared. And I want you to know that at my choosing, at the day and time of my choosing, there's going to be a head crushing. Listen, you're going to bruise the heel of my appointed one, but he is going to crush your head. He didn't say when it was going to happen. He just said, listen, it's going to happen. And when God says something, when he says something's going to happen, you can mark it down. It's going to happen. I know you probably, excuse me, talked about last week how there was a war cry that happened on a Bethlehem night in a manger. That baby crying, that night wasn't silent. It was like any other birth. It would have been very, very loud. There would have been blood. There would have been people nervous. There would have been a baby coming into the world and that baby crying out. And that in and of itself was the war cry that, listen, the battle is no longer underground, so to speak. True God from true God has broken forth, and the battle is beginning. Throughout history, there's been all kinds of incredible war cries. In our American history, back in 1775, in the Second Continental Congress at Virginia, you had Patrick Henry. You remember Patrick Henry, who stood up trying to rally the troops, trying to rally the people? And his words were this. He says, I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Being a Texan, there's one that's really near and dear to my heart. We had some volunteers from East Tennessee come down and try to help the Texians at a little place outside of San Antonio called the Alamo. We were greatly outmanned, and Santa Ana came in and just kicked tail, just to be real honest with you. Destroyed everything, killed everyone there. There were a few that got away who ran off to General Sam Houston and said, listen, here's what's happened. Sam Houston rallied the troops, and at the Battle of San Jacinto, there was a war cry that went out. Do you remember what it was? Remember the Alamo. Remember the Alamo. Think about in the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua. Joshua's getting ready to go take over the leadership. Moses has been taken back to heaven. Joshua gathers all the people up because he's now the new leader, and he looks at him and he says, really what he does is he repeats God's word that he gave to Joshua. He said, listen, be strong and courageous. Listen, you need to be strong, you need to be courageous. We're about to go over into the new land, into the promised land. Be strong and courageous. At the end of Joshua's life, do you remember what happened at the end of Joshua's life? At the end of Joshua's life, everyone's about to go take up their land, and Joshua calls the people together, and he gives them one last battle cry, just to be real honest with you. He reminds them to be strong and courageous, and then he looks at them, and he says something very similar to what Patrick Henry said. He says, I don't know about you, but for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. And he told him at that point, he said, you've got to choose this day, which became a battle cry. Listen, today I want us to focus on, in this week two in War Cry, I want us to look at the God of peace. I want us to look at how this battle cry was peace sent to us by God. Look at verse 18, and I want to start with the very first point. My first point is this, is that there is peace in God's plan. There's peace in God's plan. Look at verse 18. Excuse me. Verse 18 says this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. Now, just real quickly, I want to go back, because if you didn't know so, you would think, okay, this is the beginning of everything. But do you remember back in Genesis chapter 3 that I referenced a moment ago, when God told the serpent, he said, listen, there's always going to be, in fact, he uses a word called enmity in Genesis chapter 3. And that enmity word means hostility. He says there's always going to be hostility between your seed and her seed. Now, I want to stop right there for just a moment. That's very important. Because you know how babies are born? I'm going to be nice here. Babies are born by a man's seed and a woman. That's how babies happen. And so what ends up happening in Genesis chapter 3, you have Adam who sins, the very first Adam. He was fully man. He sinned, broke fellowship. Sin entered into the world. Did you realize that from that day forward, God had a plan that we would all be redeemed, those of us who surrendered our lives to Jesus Christ? And he says that the only way that that's going to happen is through the seed of the woman. That means there had to be a second Adam that would eventually come. An Adam who had no sin nature, because when Kyle Gowen was born, Everett Gowen passed the seed of sin to me. And I didn't come out and start sinning. I was a sinner when I was born, which means that just as this passage mentioned, there had to be a break in that line, which is why it's so important for the virgin birth. We're going to talk more about that in just a minute. That the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, and that she conceived. Folks, some of you may go, that's hard to imagine. Well, listen, you realize that the Holy Spirit took up residence in your life. He gave you new life. If he gave you new life, he can birth new life in Eve without anyone's help. So the second Adam, that's not four Adams, that's two, your second. The second Adam, Jesus Christ, came so that you and I might be able, true God from true God, came so that you and I might be able to have peace with God, might have peace with him. This is why this passage is so very important. Go back and look at verse 1 again now. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. Notice the pieces that are in here. It says that when his mother Mary, who had been betrothed, you have someone here who betrothal was an amped up engagement. In fact, to be real honest with you, when you got betrothed, you were married. It just wasn't consummated. It would last up to 1 year. So here is Mary, who has known no man, Joseph, her husband. Joseph was her husband. Mary was his wife. And it says that when they were betrothed, it says that Joseph finds out she's pregnant. What? What is this? And then all of a sudden, there's an angel that shows up in the middle of a dream. Do you catch the plan? Catch the plan that is breaking forth here. You've got a young virgin girl. You've got a young man who's probably confused at this point. You've got his dreams are shattered. All of a sudden, now he's sleeping and an angel appears. You want to talk about a situation that is ripe for needing peace. A situation that's ripe for needing peace. Can I point something to you or get you to think about something for just a few moments? I'm not quite sure what all of your situations are, but many of you have come with situations like this. I don't believe that there's any young virgins in here who are pregnant. Not that way, all right? But I do think there are folks in this room today who are struggling with peace. You feel like maybe like Joseph did, my life is ruined. What's happened? What's going on? How did I end up in this way? You may be thinking, listen, my world is in ruin financially. I am one or two steps away from having to bankrupt. You may be thinking, man, my family is in ruin. I'm not quite sure what's going to happen. You may be thinking, listen, my reputation is in ruin because of something that someone else did, not anything that I did. And you today are in need of peace. Can I tell you the good news is that God sent his warrior child to bring peace to us today. It wasn't necessarily how the world would have thought it would have happened, but typically that's a God thing, isn't it? God loves to show up in the middle of a stressful situation and bring peace like no one else would have ever thought. So I want to say to you today that God, the God of peace, true God, from true God, is here today to bring you peace. Look at the second thing quickly is this. Not only is there peace in God's plan, but there's also peace in God's presence. Notice in verse 22 and 23, I want to read these. It says, all of this took place. All of those things that we just talked about, a virgin girl, a confused young man, an angel showing up in the middle of a dream, all of these things, this happening in a betrothal, not an unconsummated marriage, all of these things happen, it says, all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. If you're a note taker, I want you to write this down, thumb it in, maybe even put it in your Bible. This is a prophecy that goes back to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. This goes all the way back to Isaiah 7, 14. 700 years prior, before the nation of Israel was taken into captivity into Babylon, Isaiah said, listen, you're got to go into captivity. You're going to be there for 70 years. God's going to bring us back. He's going to bring you back, though. But I want you to know, and he points forward to a day and time. This right here is the battle point. You remember when I said a minute ago that God said, listen, there's going to be a battle at the day and time of my choosing. This is where the battle happens, where it comes public, where a virgin is going to bear a child. A virgin is going to bear a child. And he lets the people know. In fact, he lets them in on a little piece of the plan. He even tells them what the child's name is going to be. Notice what he says. He says, his name is Emmanuel. And I love how they gave you the little detail on what Emmanuel means. Emmanuel means God with us. I want you to think about all the ways that God was with his people. In the garden, you realize that God was with them. He walked with them in the garden. When his people were in bondage and captivity in Egypt, and he let them go. Moses was there speaking, let my people go. God let them go. Do you remember how his presence was with them? The scripture tells us that he was with them with a cloud by day. He was with them with a fire by night. The scripture tells us that he even gave commandment to Moses. Moses, I want you to set up a tent that is in the middle of the camp, and I'm going to give you positions for all the tribes because I'm going to be, my presence will dwell in their midst. Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Even so much so, when they settled in the promised land, he was with them because he gave them judges. He was with them because he gave them prophets. He was with them because he gave them kings. All of these ways. You see, this passage right here in Matthew chapter 1 is written after 400 years of silence. The difference between Malachi and Matthew, the last book of the Old Testament and the first book of the New Testament, is 400 years. The people are probably wondering, wait a minute, you've said this stuff is going to happen. What's going on? Why has it not happened? And God says, oh, listen, my plans are not your ways. My plans are not your ways. I'm still working. I'm still with you. Folks, today, and I want to draw back to you today. Some of you in here, you're doubting whether or not the God of peace knows where you are. You're doubting whether or not Emmanuel is with you. I want to tell you that as followers of Jesus Christ, we trust that his word is inspired. Do you know what inspired means? Breathed out. That's what 2 Timothy 3:16, that all scripture is breathed out. It's inspired. It's from him. We believe that it's without error. Do you know why it's without error? Because God is perfect. It's without error. It's infallible. Do you know why it's infallible? Because he will never fail. So if the Bible tells you and me as his followers that Emmanuel is with us right in the middle of where you are today, struggling for peace, wondering what's going to happen in a season that should be holly and jolly, yet you find yourself in need of peace, down and depressed, I want to tell you, God's word tells us that Emmanuel is with you. He's with you. In the Bible, whenever God gave a name to somebody and says, this is what I want you to name, he was communicating something. My name is William Kyle Gowen. The name William means resolute protector, strong-willed warrior. Kyle means from the straight or from the narrows, like a river or a passage. I was born in Greenville, Texas. We were on a prairie land. There were no rivers. There were no lakes. I mean, we had like ponds that had been dug for cattle. Listen, I didn't fight in any battles. You know when I found out what my name means? This weekend when I Googled it. But in the scripture, whenever God said, this is the name, and I want to point this out, Mary and Joseph didn't choose the name of this child. It was given because God wanted to communicate something to us. He wanted to communicate something to them. He wanted them to understand. Look at verse 18. Go up a couple of pages there. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Verse 18 says this. Now, this is the birth of Jesus Christ. Do you know what the word Christ means? Christ means Messiah. He is the long-awaited one that I've said will come. He is the warrior child. Do you know what the word Jesus means? Look at verse 21. Verse 21 in Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. It says, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus saves. He's the Messiah, I promise. He is the one who's going to come and save. And the word Emmanuel, the name Emmanuel, is God with us. The one that I've promised from long ago, the one who I promised would come to save you, I am with you. Do you realize that's the promise he's made to each and every one of us who are his followers? So where you are today, the peace that you're longing for, the peace that you're struggling for, you're trying to find, I want you to know that it's found only in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the one who saves, Emmanuel, God with us. When true God became true God, he incarnated. Have you heard that word, incarnation? You know what that word means, don't you? In, took on, carne, flesh, carne asada. You like that? Means flesh. In flesh, true God, became true God, who was true God, took on flesh. And the war cry broke forth. He took on flesh and blood. The Messiah, the one who was with us in the midst of the storm. You remember when the disciples were in the midst of the storm? And they went and said, what are you doing? He stands up and at the front of the boat and he says, peace. Be still. Do you realize that today he says to each of us in here who are his followers, peace. Be still. I'm with you. Now I want to be really clear. When this was over, did you realize that Mary was still a young virgin girl who had a baby? Joseph and Mary were still betrothed. They still had not consummated their marriage. They still had to walk through. What are we going to do? People are going to find out. I want to say to you, if you're thinking peace is, he's going to remove me, he's going to pull this away, you may be sorely in for a mistake here. The point is that Jesus walks with us. He is with us. He didn't take Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fire. He was in the fire. He didn't take Daniel out of the den. He was in the den. Your financial situation, your relational situation, your medical situation that you're facing today, can God with a word, change it all? He can. That's how powerful he is. But I want to tell you, his presence is even more powerful as he walks with you. As your friends, your family look and say, I don't know how you're doing this. You're able to say, it's only by the peace of Christ. Emmanuel, who's with me. The Messiah who came to save me. He is the one. Do you have a story of need today? A story in need of peace? Well, I want you to know that Jesus, the Messiah, the one who saves, God with us in the flesh, can meet that need. He's the one that can bring that peace. The third thing that I want you to see out of this passage is not only is there peace in his plan and peace in his presence, but there's peace in his promise. Look at verse 21. Verse 21 says, she, talking about the virgin, Mary, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, underline, circle, highlight, take a note or something. Notice the phrase, he will. He will. In the scripture, whenever you read something about God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, and it says, he will, that's a promise. That's a promise. It says that he will save his people. He will save his people. He may not save his people the way that we want him to save us, specifically in the situation, but he will not leave you. He won't do it. I want to clarify something here. Do you know that in the moments when you're wanting him to do something, you're wanting him to bring peace in the situation or remove me out of the situation, remove the situation from me, you notice the clarifying mark of what Jesus will save us from, didn't you? It didn't say that he'll save you from your financial situation. He'll save you from your medical situation. He'll save you from your earthly relational situation. It says he will save you from your sins. You know the greatest gift, the greatest peace there is in the world? It's peace between you and God. It's peace between you and God. Did you realize we can Google peace? We can go to all the counseling. We can go to all the medical doctors. We can look. And I'm for all of those things. But I want to tell you, we cannot save ourselves. We are only saved by the will of the Father. And it says that he will save us from our sins. Now, I also believe that if God sent his one and only son, his war cry, his warrior child to be born into the situations that he was in, he put him on a cross, he rose again, he did all of that so that you and I, as followers of Christ, might have salvation, he didn't bring us this far to leave us right where we are. I do believe that. It may not turn out the way that I want it to turn out, but it will turn out for his glory and for my good. There's a phrase here that I want you to write down if you're taking some notes, that a particular person will save a particular people. A particular person will save a particular people. Do you know who that particular person that will save a particular people is? Jesus. Did you notice that it says he will save his people? Jesus came so that you and I, as his children, might know Jesus Christ and have a right relationship with him. But here's the sheer reality. You realize this isn't a universalism passage. Not everybody goes to heaven. Good people don't go to heaven. Saved people go to heaven. People who have Jesus, the Messiah, the long-awaited one, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus who will save us from our sins. Today in this room, I don't know how many people, I'm horrible at doing this. I don't know the number or anything, but I can tell you this. In a room this size, there's someone, at least one, possibly more, who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And you're sitting in a world of hurt. You're sitting in a world of pain. You're sitting in a world of confusion. You're looking for peace. Can I tell you the greatest peace you will find is only found in Jesus, your Savior? The Bible tells us, and I believe it, the Bible tells us that there is a real place called heaven that those who have surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ, who are known by the Father, will go when they die. The Bible also tells us that there is a real place called hell, that those who do not know him when they die will spend an eternity separated from him. Folks, the greatest peace you can have is when this particular child, Jesus Christ, saves a very particular people, his people, the ones who know him. Only in Emmanuel, the Messiah, Jesus who saves us from our sins, will we ever find the shalom peace of God. Only in him. Do you remember his names? The guys at the office always give me a hard time because when we start to read about Jesus, someone will always say, "What's that baby's name?" Because I use that, just a phrase that I use. What's that baby's name? You know why I say that? Because there is power only in his name. There is no other name under heaven, on earth, or under the earth by which men might be saved. You want real power? You sing the name of Jesus. Sing the name of Jesus. Do you remember his names? They correspond with the points that we've talked about. Jesus, God's plan to save us. Emmanuel, Jesus, God in present form with us. Jesus, the Christ, the long promised Messiah, has come. Look at verses 24 and 25, and I start to close up here. Verse 24 and 25, look what Joseph's response was. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded. He took his wife. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth, and he called his name Jesus. He obeyed. Folks, in the midst of where you are today, in the midst of what you're walking in, we remember who he is, and we obey what it is that he's called us to do. Some of you today, the greatest witness that you could ever be for the Lord Jesus Christ is in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your suffering, is you get up and you just do the next thing that God has called you to do. You meet with him, you sing to him, you pray to him, you love him, you submit yourself to him. Why? Because he is with you. He'll never leave you. Though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you can fear no evil. Because his presence is with you. In the middle of where you are today, the Prince of Peace meets us, and he says this from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I'm so thankful that today, that when the Lord Jesus ascended back to heaven, he had told his disciples, I'm going to send one who's going to be a comforter to you. One who's going to help bring peace. One who's going to remind you of all the things I've said. Not only, God dwelled among his people. Jesus came and walked alongside his people. But today, we have the Holy Spirit of God who resides within us, who never leaves us, who inspired men throughout the ages to write his holy word so that when we're in need, we turn to his word. Romans chapter 15, verses 4 through 6 say this, for whatever was written in the former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance, through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Charles Spurgeon tells a story. He wrote a story in one of his messages about a bricklayer who was on the side of a building laying brick and ended up falling off that scaffold. And as he fell, the brick fell around him, fell on him. And just so as it might be, as he lay on the sidewalk in very bad condition, a priest comes by. And the priest walks up to him and says, my dear son, you must make peace with God in this moment. This is your day. You must make peace with God in this moment. The young bricklayer, laying on the ground with tears in his eyes, looked back up at the priest and said, my dear friend, oh sir, I can't make peace with God. He made peace for me 1,800 years ago. Folks, can I tell you how true peace will be found? By surrendering your life, surrendering your hurts, surrendering your pain, surrendering your questions to the God of all peace, the God of all comfort. The warrior child who broke in to do battle, to bring peace that you and I could never bring. It's only through the name of Jesus that we might have peace. Let's pray together. Father, I magnify you today. And I pray, Jesus, that today you might have been magnified. I ask that you, God, as we've lifted up your son, as we've sung about him, as we've read the word about him, as we've tried to point people to Jesus, I pray now that you would draw people to Christ. God, I'm asking that if there's someone in here who is in a world of hurt, a world of need, a world of I need peace. God, would you meet them where they are in this moment? It's in the name of Jesus I ask these things. Amen. Today, if you would like to know more about Christ, maybe you want someone just to counsel with, somebody to pray with you, walking through. I want you to know I'm going to be out to the side. I know Caleb will be out there. You could turn to any Life Point College Grove person, and they would love to pray with you. Today, as we close out, we're going to close out by reading a passage of scripture together, and then we'll be dismissed together, but we're going to read together. So if you would you now stand? If you have your Bibles, you can open up to the book of Isaiah. If not, it'll be on the screen. As we read together, Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I want you to go in the peace of the Lord today. Have a great week. You're dismissed.